So, as I've already mentioned in past videos, life coaching isn't about having all the answers for people. It's about helping people to understand the extent of the choices that they have. So, in this video, I would just quite quickly like to take a few moments to help you understand the ecological aspect of goal setting, especially in relation to when people are choosing the goals that they want to prioritise and pursue first. Now, what we need to take into consider here is that relationships is one of the main primary elements that people are going to have problems with. They're going to be coming to you for life coaching. So we know that the quality of our lives is determined by the quality of the relationships we keep and all these sorts of things. So in order for us to make wise and well-informed decisions that are going to enhance the quality of our relationships, it's important that we understand this framework. It's just another model that we can use to question and challenge people's motives when they're setting and establishing either goals or priorities. Make sense? Comprendez-vous? So, basically, this isn't a complicated model. It's very, very similar to the Eisenhower model. And this one is just where we're reviewing the goals that you either you set or your client sets through a slightly different lens. All we're looking at here is whether the goals that your client is setting are actually good goals. Now, when I say good goals, I'm meaning, are the goals going to be fundamentally good for your client whilst also being good for someone else? Because those goals are healthy goals. They're what we'll call balanced goals. Whereas, unfortunately, many people set goals that are either completely selfish or completely selfless. Now, there's nothing wrong with being completely selfless. Selfless can be a good thing, but if that's detrimental to the progress that your client would otherwise be making, then it's not wise, all right? It's good to give, but we've also got to count the cost at times, sometimes. You with me? Let me explain. Because there's going to be some goals that your clients will set that they'll think are good for other people, but yet they're not going to be good for themselves. Now, if these goals that your clients set are good for other people, might be husbands, wives, employers, clients, children, whatever, but they're not good for self, then they're not going to find any fulfillment through this. And in order to live a life that's actually full of life, well, it's imperative that we as human beings and your clients are experiencing as much fulfillment as physically possible from ascertaining the goals that they ascertain. So I would always promote ecological goals that are both good for the client and good for other people at exactly the same time, because what we're creating here is a win-win scenario. And this is kind of what we're always going to be hoping to help our clients accomplish. Win-win. Creating an environment where everyone stands to win. Because some goals that your clients will want to set are goals that are good for them, but are going to come at the cost of someone else. And that's not particularly ecological. We've got to understand that the world of economics is based upon this principle, the principle of opportunity cost, where not everyone can't have everything at the cost to no one. For example, there are men and women in the world just north, around about 50 miles north from where I live. There's an American guy. He calls himself the $50 billion man. All right, he's got a website called the $50 billion man. Please feel free to check that out. All right, I'm actually doing some naming and shaming here. Not to start a witch hunt or anything, but just to let you have a look at how some people live their lives. Now, I'm not telling you the guy's name, but this guy boasts and brags of the billions of pounds that he has, 50 billion pounds. He owns castles all around the world. But if you think about it, how sick would one person have to be? How completely self-consumed would one person need to be to continue to pursue money when so many people throughout the nation and the world are broke, are poor? Now, yeah, there's so much of an element of choice in this, but some people live completely self-consumed lives. And as a life coach, it's imperative that you play a part in challenging people's motives. Is this goal a completely selfish goal, or is it selfless? Because the $50 billion man, well, he could go out and make another $100 billion, but is he going to be any more fulfilled? I seriously freaking doubt it, all right? Because now we understand core values, don't we? So this brings us on to the types of goals that some people set that are not good for self and not good for others. For example, let's use the $50 billion man again. Now, the $50 billion man could wake up one morning and just feel to himself that he's not yet quite fulfilled in life, so he needs to go out and make himself another $100 billion or pounds. Now, that's a funny thing. When you have money, you can do more with it. You can invest, you can take more risks and more chances, and it's a pretty good chance that he would then go on to make another $100 billion or dollars. But would it be good for him? The answer is no, because if someone isn't yet fulfilled at the stage of having, you know, generated $50 billion, well, what difference is another $100 billion going to make? The one common theme that I've come to recognise over the years, especially in relation to people who have amassed quite a lot of wealth, is this: that generally people that have a lot of money are generally more stressed out and fear-ridden than what those who have little money. Because people that don't have much are generally just driven and motivated by having enough. Whereas people who have earned that sort of money, 50 billion, haven't yet come to appreciate anything that they have. It's an ironic world that we live in. So this framework is something that we can use to challenge people's motives, all right? And it's important that you do this, because if you want to coach people, coaching is about bringing out the best. But some people will naturally conduct themselves selfishly. So by challenging people, by asking them, okay, so tell me, this goal that you're setting here, is it good for you? They might say yes. Tell me, is it good for anyone else apart from you? If they say yes, then pursue the line of questioning with how. How is it good for other people? How is it good for you? The how question is a very open question, if you like, all right? You could just say, is it good for you? They'll say yes. You could say, is it good for other people? They'll say yes. You're asking a closed question. Is it is always going to be a closed question. But if you ask the question how is it good for you? How is it good for other people? Just by using that one word, you're opening the question right up that is going to lead on to nothing less than complete honesty from them. They're either going to be honest or they're going to respond by saying, I don't know, which would then lead you on to asking further questions such as, well, if you were to make a well-educated guess, would you say that you pursuing this goal is still going to be good for you, good for other people, or might it be otherwise? So this is a framework that you can use to test the ecology of other people's goals. The reason being is because if the goals that people set are fundamentally just selfish, then even if they do go on to accomplish them, they're not going to find any long-term degree of fulfillment anyway. And guess who would then go on to get the blame for that? That's right, it wouldn't be them, it'd be you. So again, in the additional materials section, there's a framework that you can download and build into your repertoire of resources just to help you remember to build this in to your life coaching practice when you get around to eventually helping people to set, shape, and define their goals.